lock and load.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
Who have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-changey stuff working out for you?
He's now a president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.
November 8th is the most important election that we have had. You know, Joe, as we were preparing, if we don't take the reins back, and it was interesting that you said that we've been set back 10 years within just 2 years of Biden. It's just, there's no good news on the horizon other than key campaigns within the state of Minnesota, and what's going to happen in 2024 is going to really determine where this country is even going to be.
Well, tonight we're going to have Dr. Scott Jensen on, returning, who's running against, you know, the little tyrant, Tim Walz. And, you know, this, you got to remember, this is the thing that bothers me, that the short-term memory of the state, you know, people forget that. The Walz took away their livelihood, shut down her business, our schools, you know, forced kids to stay home from school, masked mandates. This goes on and on and on. And he did it with the power of the king. All right. That's what bothers me the most. You know, I'm the king and this is what I'm going to do. And now I want you to vote for me again because I did such a good job that I've got homeless living on the streets. Inflation's up 33%. Crime is up 33%. But yay, yay, vote for me. I'm doing a damn good job. You know how you spell, you know, Walz? Failure. F-A-I-L-U-R-E. I'd actually be able to spell that a little quicker if I'd done a little better in school. But, you know, I'm probably at the same level as the eighth grade kids in a sixth grade level.
It's okay, Joe. This morning I sat at McDonald's where my really good friends, they're retired veterans, and the front page of the Star Tribune down on the bottom half was talking about how the outlying rural areas in the Iron Range are going red. And I thought, well, we all know this, but for the Star Tribune to talk about this, you know, the Democrats...
Hold on. Did you say Star and Tribune? It's Star and Sickle.
Star and Sickle, yes. But here's the thing. So we're going to have somewhat of an interactive show tonight because I posted on a text message to a lot of my listeners that Dr. Scott Jensen's coming on tonight, and we've got a list of really interesting questions to ask him, ranging everywhere from education, crime, economy, what's going to happen when the reserves run out, which is, we're going to talk a little bit about this because I don't know if people really understand the impact of losing our oil reserves, our begging of Saudi Arabia, the basic finger that the Saudis are giving back to Biden, and where is this all going to lead this country and this economy? I was just out in the oil field. Not a lot of enthusiasm out in the oil field. The word is that they're stacking rigs, which means they're laying rigs down. The two main reasons, the cost of drilling, it's always been way more expensive in North Dakota. The difficulty to get people to work. It's not like that quite as much in Oklahoma and Texas, but what do we face there? The end of the federal leasing, so there won't be additional drilling. We're already behind in U.S. production, the reserves that have already been given away to the other countries, and OPEC is slowing down. So
I guess it wasn't a good idea to call Khashoggi a murderer, huh, Mr. Biden? the guy that controls the keys to the kingdom of oil over there is just saying, you know what, you called me a murderer. Screw you. And that's exactly what he's doing. And can you blame the guy? Because he's getting $100 a barrel. Do you know anything about the LIV Golf Tour?
I do not.
Okay, the LIV Golf Tour is sponsored by the Saudis, and that's he hired Greg Norman at an enormous price. He's got 50 of the best golfers to play on this tour, and this tour is basically a giant FU to the PGA, and that's what Khashoggi's doing. He's given Norman a blank check to hire all these pro golfers away from the PGA to do this tour, The PGA is just absolutely upset. But that is the ability of what you can do when you have the oil. And we have the oil. We had it when Trump was there. We were exporting more oil than any other nation out there. We were producing more oil. But you know what? We're not now. And why is that? Everybody says, well, geez, I don't know. Why is that? I don't get it. How could Biden affect that? You shut down the federal leases. You make it really expensive to drill it. You ruin their lives with the EPA. And trust me, they do. They go out there and they look for a drop of oil on the ground and say, oh my God, we got to call this a disaster site and shut down that rig. Well, then you know what? You're not producing any oil.
And then Biden is, it comes out that Biden is asking that it's not announced until after the election about the slowdown in production in Saudi Arabia.
Well, in OPEC in general.
OPEC in general, excuse me, yes. So, you know, long term, I went from thinking that we're going to have not only a bad recession, the discussion out at the rigs last weekend was massive depression. And here I'm hearing the echoing of that of other talk radio hosts, other people in throughout Fox. And quite honestly, when you look at the direction of everything that is going with the global slowing down, I kind of believe that we're headed that direction as well.
Well, you take a look at just anybody's 401k plan. My 401k plan a couple of years ago was, you know, just killing it. And now it's not a 401k plan. It's just a 4K plan. You know, I mean, we've lost the 01. And that's the reality of what's going on out there. And being a trucker, you know, I deliver hotshot freight. And the housing market is gone. It's gone. All the new housing. I'm not shipping lumber. I'm not shipping fire hydrants. I'm not shipping ground pipe. You don't build anything in this country without putting a fire hydrant in the ground first. All the projects that you see going vertical right now, once they're done, there ain't nothing else left on the books. And that's when we go in the tank. Because people aren't buying houses. All those tract houses that you see being built out like in Ham Lake, Lakeville, and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to see the prices of them going down. You know, now they're building on spec. And that's bad. And I have a good friend whose wife works for a lending tree.
Yeah.
They've laid off all their new mortgage people. And
well, we're at 6.9 for a 30-year note right now.
Which isn't bad.
No, it's not bad, but they're saying that this is going to get into 10, 11. Now you add that with the cost of crude going through the ceiling, which means we're going to be paying, I think we're going to see $6 a gallon here in Minnesota. And then you extrapolate that to what we're going to be paying for groceries and everything else. I mean, I think that everything has got, the inflation has gotten so high, and I don't even think the 8 point whatever that they're announcing, I don't even think that's a true inflation number.
Oh, that's not even close. It's not this, it's unrealistic as hell. I mean, I went to Grub Foods a couple of days ago and I bought $65 worth of groceries and I filled up a bag and a half.
I think we get your grocery report each show.
Oh, you probably do. You know, I'm just saying it's a single guy. One guy. That's all.
I got to throw a start in there.
Yeah.
We got to keep some humor. You know, as I'm sitting here thinking, you know, the majority of shows, I'm the voice of optimism. I'm the one always pulling everybody up and saying, we're going to be okay. We're going to be fine. And it's not that I had lunch today with a good friend of mine, Buddy Prom. And one of the things that when you and I first met, one of your comments was that you got to believe that we know how to survive. We know how to reinvent ourselves.
Oh, that part is true. But the first step is going to be, like I said, you know, the Republicans taking over the majority of the House and the Senate. And, you know, putting a leash on. And that doesn't just count for Biden. That's in your state races. That's down to your city councils. That's down to your school councils. The friggin' dog catcher needs to be a Republican, all right? It needs to be common sense people with common sense ideas that say, hey, you know what? Okay, I'm going to give you a classic example. This is what's going on in Columbia Heights.
And this is a good setup for when Dr. Scott Jensen joins us, because he's just minutes away from calling in. So
right.
Let's be ready
so
for him.
This is what's going on in Columbia Heights. I was just at this meeting at Transportation Board, where they want to lower the speed limit from 30 miles an hour to 20 miles an hour in a residential neighborhood. And I went there, and I said, no. And they all looked at me like, why? It's a great idea. I said, okay, who's going to pay for the signs? And they all looked at me with this blank look on their eyes like, Well, I'm like, first of all, you're not even enforcing 30 miles an hour. I live on 3rd Street Northeast, and that's a freaking Indianapolis 500.
First of all, what is the ideology from 30 to 20?
Exactly. Hold on. That's where I'm getting at. They all go, well, we think it's a good idea.
Why?
And I go, why? Because Minneapolis did it? And that was when they got the blank stare and the look in their eye. And I go, so tell me, in all the years that Columbia Heights existed, please tell me how many fatalities there have been in residential streets. And they looked at me and they said, well, there's been zero. So you're trying to create a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. And they're like, but it's a good idea. I'm like, well, okay, how are you going to pay for it? Well, how are you going to force it? Well, we're down 4 police. We can't hire any police. Well, maybe you should take the money that you're going to spend on the 20-mile-an-hour speed limit signs and go hire 4 more policemen.
How'd that go over?
They tried to vote on it anyway. And everybody in the room was sitting there going, no, 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 don't do this. But they went and did it. Tried to vote on it anyway. The vote did not pass, thank God. But it just shows that they're totally blind or deaf, tone deaf to the people. They don't care. They said, well, this is our good idea. Well, we're going to do it anyway. You know, that's what we're going to do. You know, they're just, well, if it worked in that Democratic city, even though it's wrecking the damn city, we'll do it over in our city and we'll wreck ours too. That's why it has to be a red wave right down to the dog catcher.
Are you running for dog catcher?
I thought about it. I was going to run for mayor, but you know that.
Duck catcher?
No. Duck. Speaking of ducks, all the ducks flew south. I'm not kidding you. On my duck pond up north, Tuesday, there were 100,000 ducks in it.
You personally counted each one?
Well, I talked to them.
Yeah, know, what I was going to say.
One by one. You know, hey, Fred, George, how y'all doing? And, you know. So no, they were having their monthly quack meeting. So, but they all flew south, and then they went out. My buddies went out duck hunting this morning. On it, they got like 24, and they should have like a million.
You brought me wild caught salmon before. Are you going to bring me some?
I have none. I have none to give you. I have nothing. The end of the salmon season really was not good.
Well, we are waiting for Dr. Scott Jensen to join the program. I'm not exactly sure how I got introduced to Dr. Scott Jensen back in the day, back in late 2020. He first joined the show. The first show that he came on, it was basically debunking the COVID death numbers in Minnesota. He gained national attention very quickly, even was on Fox News. And basically the story came out that out of the some 100,000 supposed COVID deaths here in Minnesota, when you really analyze them, because what had happened was the classification of death certificates was changed, and it was basically a moratorium to put COVID as the cause of death on every single death certificate. And Jensen looked into this and did an investigation and then caught all types of attention by this report that came out. And so he came on my show, and then he continued coming on the show as we progressed. At one point back in the day, literally every show was COVID crazy, and we couldn't even get away from it. And then as he transitioned and decided to throw his hat in the ring to run for governor. Now, Dr. Scott Jensen, being a non-establishment, non-politician doctor in the medical field, he's really rose up in this campaign. I really liked him from early on. And then as we saw other individuals throw their hat into the ring, Mike Murphy and so many others, it really came out that Scott really started to rise up and gain a lot of attention. And now the momentum in his campaign, what I'm hearing is that he's running neck to neck You drive all over the city. I think you even said that you're noticing Scott Jensen signs even within the inner city itself.
Yeah, they're popping up here or there and stuff like that. But not so much dramatically as, or what is even more interesting is that as many Scott Jensen signs that you're seeing popping up is how few signs you don't see at Walls. When Walls won 4 years ago, there was a Walls Flanagan sign in every freaking yard in South Minneapolis. That's just the facts. And you don't see them anywhere. And, you know, another indicator is how good Cicely Davis is doing. Because
what do you know about her campaign?
Oh, she's it's a coin flip right now that she could beat Ilhan Omar. Omar doesn't have the support she once had, you know. And the people that went and voted for Don Samuels when he primaried against her are not turning around and saying, well, okay, Don lost, so therefore I'm going to run, well, therefore I'm going to go over and vote for Ilhan Omar. That's not what's happening. She has lost the support of the people. And that is very evident. And what it really came down to with Ilhan Omar is they could tolerate a lot of her issues. But when it came down to, they didn't even mind her in, you know, the gay marriage and the transgender issue until it became a primary issue, you know, when it became forefront. That, and there's the case. Oh, hey, here we go. Welcome to the show, Dr. Scott Jensen. We've been looking forward to this for so long, and I'm going to turn it over to Belle.
So you're leading with one of the first questions that you know, that we got asked about, is this the biggest, largest fraud case with COVID aid from the federal government and the nation that FBI is investigating. I didn't really know what this was about, but this Feed the Children, and I guess they just flat out just stole the money, correct?
Yes. Now, you started the program?
Yes.
Yeah, what happened? There were policy papers in school, on breakfast, not being at school, intention of having fed. So, the United States Department of Agriculture's task, responsibility, to put programs in place. And the programs were complicated, extremely well funded, a lot of dollars, billions and billions and billions. So, what happened in Minnesota is the Department of Education did really do a good job. And they were supposed to meet certain criteria to make sure that everything was on the up and up. So relatively quickly, you had places pop up, apply, and they would submit their data. They would submit that they had fed 8,000 kids per day. And the site they were using kids on was never inspected. It might have been 1,200 square feet. Single door entrance and no parking. And they were saying they were 8,000 kids. Nobody checked out, so they just got paid. So a company that 2019, I think, see somewhere around $3 million in revenue for September, was able to pay $200 million. And they weren't driving the kids. It was almost mathematically impossible. Literally fed one child in 4 seconds. Nobody checked. So when the FBI finally indicted, literally we know that 125 million meals were paid for that were never served to hungry kids.
Wow.
This is his words, because we wanted to know, okay, why did this take years to stop? And what we find out is in 2020, first year of the pandemic, Tim Walz was made aware something was wrong. He said, one interview, made aware of it. I And then Jim Walz's office called him back and said, no, that's not right. This photo was made aware in the summer, not April. And then a couple hours later, they called back again. And they said, no, it wasn't the summer. Remember, they obviously are trying to shield something, trying to deflect, and trying to hide or protect someone. So the question is now, we're in a massive cover. Jim Walz won't tell us what he can't figure out why it wasn't reported after he got early.
So it's basically, what did he know and when did he know it?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right. And that's is that going to be a focus on any of your ad campaigns?
It's going to be a part of the campaign and part of the ad campaign. But in terms of ad campaigns, I have to share the reality with you. When we run a single 30-second ad in the middle of a Vikings game, that costs $35,000. So when we run an ad, it's going to be an ad that is going to move people's hearts and minds. And while people are anxious and frustrated about $250 million missing, we need to speak to their hearts for their public safety, about inflation, about what's happening to our kids, the schools, the drop-off issue, the hypersexualization, political race theory that they're forced into. So we're probably not going to be able to ads on the fraud because it's just, you just don't have that kind of money.
Well, yeah, we actually do. We got $12 billion in surplus that they just won't give back to us.
So, Scott, let me ask you, if when you become governor, what will you do with this fraud case and with the FBI?
What we should do is what some other states have done. Massachusetts did it. Florida did it. We need to have Inspector General that oversees, if you will, government spending. And that person has to be independent governor, independent of the various commissioners. This has to be a nonpartisan person who has the ability and the authority to say, we're coming into audit, we're coming to hold people accountable. It isn't happening. We have in Minnesota, the way I've said it is we have one inspector general for the public services department, but the other departments don't have such an individual. And we need some people that right now we've tried to make a running rally of how much money to waste, fraud, cost overruns, and flawed policies. And we're into easily billions of dollars. So, okay, well, not that money is well, actually, you could save $1 billion in a given year. You've got the money to do the things you want to do. It's just that you're wasting money.
Okay. I've got a question for you. As you know, I'm an independent trucker. I drive around the cities. And I've been noticing all these apartment complexes. This is actually a question from our listener. And they're going up all over the place. I'm delivering to them.
The question is from Rick Fox. It says, what's with all the apartments popping up all over the Twin Cities? Is this free or super cheap housing for the illegals? What is the plan for all these people entering our state? Or are these buildings assisted living centers as the population ages? If so, Scott, what's your plan for healthcare? And then he goes on to say there is a shortage of workers in the areas of healthcare, so the quality here is crap, as he says. Why build assisted living senior centers if there isn't staff? So it's a two-part question, I guess. Noticing all these apartments, are they for illegals? And how are we going to be handling all these illegals that are being poured into Minnesota?
I don't know which apartments it's referring to. So I would have a hard time.
Sure.
But I think that right now, we have a dangerous program whereby we're saying that the measured, balanced patient protocols with medical placements are going to be ignored, and we're just going to go ahead and willy-nilly allow people out across the border, and then like to say, oh, by the way, we're going to provide more services to you than we do for our veterans. That's basically what's happening. Our veterans aren't treated as well as some of the people who are illegal across our borders.
Trust me, I know this. I'm a veteran.
Yeah, this is not right.
But even worse than that, you go down to the Hiawatha district now, you've got homeless camps that are popping up all over the place. You've got over on the quarry up northeast Minneapolis, you got homeless camps there. Behind the railroad tracks over in the Port Authority, you got massive homeless camps out on St. Anthony Boulevard in the woods. And yet we're going to house people who hopped across the river in Texas. Something seems kind of wrong with that.
It's totally out of whack. Give someone the thought or the impression something for that they aren't doing. In a way, that's the most heartless thing you can do. So someone might be thinking, well, I feel really good about this virtue signaling that I'm doing. But this is not right. And the homeless camps, many people might say, well, that's all we can do. I guess that's what counts. But they'll say that right up until it's in their backyard.
Yes, and it's in my backyard.
And then they say, well, hold it now. This is what I bargained. And honestly, we're not being intellectually honest with ourselves. We have to try to find a real solution to the problem. And we're not going to fix it if we don't have a real hard conversation, but okay, if we're going to house people, how do we do it for a manageable price? What are the expectations of people for providing housing for? How can they help? What could reasonable expectations be for them? And like you said, how can we aggravate and exacerbate the problem by having more people come to Minnesota that we can't take care of because we're not taking care of our own right now?
So what would you do?
Well, I think you can't let housing camps pop up wherever they pop up. It makes people angry. It doesn't provide solutions. Oftentimes, camps will be cleaned up by authorities, and frequently, very few possessions that these people have are all of a sudden gathered up in a little dumpster. This isn't right. We're not solving the problem. But services. You have to say, okay, how do we do this? Where do we have land available? How can we put something up that will over people's heads? Because nobody, we certainly do not want these people to not have a roof over their head and not have belly and clothing on their back.
Well, they
roll up our sleeves and try to solve the problem, but I hope magic bullet that says, this is.
Well, I kind of had one solution that I'd like to run by the 10 seconds, but I thought, maybe the state could buy, a plot of land and say, hey, okay, this is where you can put your tents. If you put your tent on the exit ramp of 94 and Cedar, which they are now, or underneath the bridge of 94 and Cedar, no, you're going to be moved out. We're going to pick you up. Like you said, we're going to pick all your possessions up. We're going to move you out to this one area, and here's where you can set up your homeless camp, all right? But you got to follow the rules, all right? And we're going to provide you with showers. We're going to provide you with food. You want to get counseling. You want to get an education. You want to get a job. We'll help you with job services. We'll help you with everything you need so you can get a better – get out of your tent and into real world drug counseling, whatever you need. But you got to follow the rules. But if we catch you on the street, guess what? We're going to put you in jail.
Well, I think that part of what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I don't think right now that you have the capacity to put people in jail because they're not following the rules regarding how we're trying to help them out with their homelessness. But nevertheless, I think on the right track. If you have bottom line available, you'll send you positive because that's the way you're going to be able to do it in some sort of a fiscally manageable manner. These are not easy problems.
No, they're not. Just don't have that guy that stole $250 million run the place.
let's go to the next, because Scott, you kind of touched on it earlier. Jay Dugan's question is, what's with the teachers union attacking parents here in Minnesota, all of the lewd drag strip shows for minors, and whilst trying to formalize that sexualization and CRT and teaching license standards so it's in every school? With crime, inflation, and corruption all going through the roof, why is whilst focusing on sexual content and CDT in schools and attacking you over abortion laws you can't change? Is he that out of touch, or just that controlled by the extreme left in the DFL?
Well, I think really what it is this is the political machine. This is how it operates. Tim Walz knows that in Minnesota, abortion is a constitutional protected right for all women and for government. He knows that. But that's all he's got to run on. If you look at, say, arguably he is the godfather of crime and that has afflicted our entire state, as well as our nation, all on Tim Walz. Ground level zero, Tim Walz, and nobody knew where he was. That's why we have this broadcast. Certainly, he's our government. He was absent. He was absent when he was telling the cops to get up the third precinct. Tim Walz has been absent. But as to why he attacks me, he has nothing else to attack. So he says, well, I'm going to go after abortion, even though it is not on the ballot. And I am very, that I am not going to ban abortion because no governor can do that. Walz has said that. Ellison said that. So this is politics. And it sucks. I get that. And I think Jim is being less than honest about what he's doing. If he really feels good about what he's doing, then why doesn't he go on debates? And let's have a half a dozen debates. And he can explain his actions, and I can explain my words. And Minnesota can make a decision. But right now, despite the fact that Tim Walz said he wants to have debates, he wants to have a big and broad audience, not allowing to be next in Rochester to be broadcast on the Minneapolis State Football TV networks. And he's not allowing live audio. He's making most of it.
Because
he can't come out on it. Now let me ask you this next question. So, Rodney Bergstrom, school test scores have gone down. Throwing more money in the present education system is not the answer. Curriculums must change and teach the basics. Kids are not being taught cursive writing and can't even write.
I agree with him totally. I think that what we're doing is we're thinking over and over again, not getting the kind of results we want, that the answer must be provide more money. But if you look at what Minnesota does provide for average student, in Minnesota compared to other states, we're 150% higher. Some states will provide $8,000 to $9,000 per student. We're $13,500. I don't think that more money has solved the problem. I think for a better job of doing Republican Party does policy. We need to make sure we're laser focused on separating teachers from teachers. Because I would never want
to think what you're thinking. I have both of us. So that's
an awful lot of people operate. And you don't realize that the head of the Minnesota teaching, she makes over $200,000 as a generous expense account. He makes way more money than the governor. He makes more than twice what the head of governor makes. Denise Speck is more interested in the politics of certain states of mind. Position, and she is in worrying about what's going on between kids and teachers. How can make sure that teachers are in a situation where they can teach kids? Because right now, you can imagine what it's like to have 25 and have two highly trust. Trying to deal with the other 25. This is tough on teachers.
Is there a chance that you can get rid of her?
Teacher?
No, Denise Speck.
Denise Speck. No, she's this is a feast. This is a kingdom. Denise got her job, and I'm sure she works very hard to make sure that nobody's going to take it away from her. So, from the legislature, governor, district-wise, none of those can take it away from her.
Okay, so let's say you've got the House or the legislature, you've got the Senate, you've got the governor, you've got clean sleep, you're red all the way across. Is there anything then that you could do to limit her powers by the use of the legislature, the Senate, and the governor?
Yes, I don't know directly, in fact, but I think what I would do is I would take the power away from her legislature. Try to do everything I can to provide teachers with more authority and ability to function independently, have the teachers work for them as much as they can locally, with parents, kids. I think that on as much as you can, the only pulpit falls out on the carpet. The teachers' union was, we just come off horrific lockdowns. It's absolutely hard. Some places in the country advocating for a strike.
Oh, no, they didn't advocate it. They did it in Minneapolis, didn't they?
Yes. And so they went on strike, and they absolutely damaged the circumstances because they could. And when you do that, as far as I'm concerned, you're showing your color. It isn't about your kids. It's about your organization and retaining power and control. And I think that's where Denise Speck is at. That's what I've seen.
Wow.
Let's get into what's in the front and center of everybody's minds. We've read all the questions from the listeners that they sent to me. You know, we started out the show, Scott, talking about the oil reserves and Saudi slowing down in production and our reserves being down. I was just out in North Dakota. Instead of adding more rigs in the air and drilling more, they're actually slowing down drilling. I guess the question that I ask and wonder, what happens when the reserves get really low? What can we do here in the state of Minnesota? What can you do?
Well, first off, Tim Walz has been an enemy of additional pipelines. So Line 3 with him, that should never have been fought by the government. That should have been allowed to go through so that we can have a maximization of, if you will, oil or refinery. So that was foolish on Walz's part. Fight against a safe line, pipeline that was placing a different line that was over 50 years old that was in contemptible condition. So if Walz did that, undercutting our own. So what would I do? I would go to have oil rigs across America more. So energy independence isn't just a clever little phrase.
No, it's not.
It really matters. And the notion that using our strategic petroleum to artificially reduce the cost of gas temporarily in front of an election, and then also selling some of the reserves to China is unbelievable. We're just shaking our heads saying, what in the world is going on?
Real quick on, this is a crazy theory, but it's one that's not just backed up, said by me, but it's backed up by a lot of guys that I know that I served with in the Cold War over in the 82nd Airborne over in Vicenza, Italy. I was part of an S2 intelligence department at the battalion, and I was there when the wall fell, and literally. And what the theory was that there were so many Soviet sleeper cells that had infiltrated our country at the time and shortly after, and it was actually proven when they arrested those ones over in Philadelphia, you know, just a couple of years ago. You got to wonder, man, did they really get that deep into our government? Because things are happening that just defy logic. It's you know, defund the police? That's insane. Cut oil production when we need it the most. That's insane. I mean, do you ever just stop and wonder?
Oh, absolutely. And I think right now what happens, you're very likely to be called.
Oh, absolutely. People looked at me like I'm nuts. And then 2 weeks later, they arrested those 14 in Philadelphia, which the one was very pretty. And she was part of a long-term 30-year Soviet sleeper cell working in everyday society. I think one was a school teacher and two of them were professors. And, you know, here they are.
I don't know how in the world we get 911 so casual. People have pulled that off for more than a couple of days. Some of the lessons might have thought we learned. It seems like we didn't learn very well.
No, there's a great line from the movie King Arthur's Court, where Merlin stands in front of the knights of the Round Table, and he says, "Remember this moment well, because it's the doom of man that we forget." And here we are, you know, in one moment in time, the entire country, the entire world was united. And somehow or another, 20 years later, we figured out a way to screw it up. You know, and you wonder if it was an active plan, you know.
Well, that's one thing I've noticed on the campaign trail. Just like you said, people are waking up. They're fired up. There's a mixture of confusion, anger, and emotion. I've had enough. And
yep.
So I think that's what makes this election 3.5 weeks so clear, because arguably this is our last best vote.
You took the words I said that when I opened up the show, and you know, this is the most critical vote. And I wonder, my question to you is, if we take the House and the Senate, do you think that we can be able to slow some of this massive destruction? There's many people that think we're headed to a pretty severe depression. How severe do you think things are going to get? And then I want to segue to your platform, your campaign, and what you're going to bring to Minnesota to heal Minnesota.
Well, I think first off, we have to use Governor Bully Pope, elevate the noble cause of building bridges with one another. We can have hard conversations. I mean, Bella, when I'm on your show, I never tell you not to ask questions for any certain areas. I go wherever you want me to go.
Yep.
And it drives my they like things in the garden. I said, yeah, it's not really a conversation. It's more of a rehearsed play. And I said, I think Minnesota's bond that hard conversation, but either makes it very difficult. You say something not quite right, wrong word, wrong metaphor, for about 5 days on. Like, you know, finally let go and go after, you know, something else. But we need to build bridges. We need to have conversations, and we can do that. But I think we need to stop government policies that are taking place that have these unintended consequences. But just because they were unintended doesn't mean that they could not have been anticipated. Many times, dumb stuff. Recognize it's not a good idea. I mean, someone on Joe Biden could have been telling you this. This is not a good idea to be emptying out our strategic petroleum reserve. If we think we're in a sticky wicket now, it could get a whole lot worse before it gets better. That's what someone should have been telling them. But instead, we've used up over 30% of our petroleum reserve.
Oh, I think somebody was advising him, but I don't think he was on our side. Yeah. You know, that goes back to what I just said. Okay, so let's wrap this up. Where can we donate to?
Oh, first I was going to say I wanted to let Scott talk about I've listened to so many of the different things that you'd like to change in Minnesota. You know, I think a couple of the things when we're talking about economy and the future of Minnesota, what are some of the key things that you are wanting to change and bring to Minnesota to bring hope and optimism to healing Minnesota and how we're going to really improve the lives and bring some hope to our future, our economy, and just where the direction and how you're going to change Minnesota?
Minnesota is vulnerable because of our greatest resources are the internet. We need to unleash them. We need to let miners mine, let farmers log, let farmers farm. We need to get government. Government has a role, but it's far smaller. Now, government can find a little bit amorphous amoeba. It's engulfing it. If it moves, we can't move. If it's moving, we regulate. If it stops moving, we subsidize. Those are regulated.
Yep.
Exactly what we're
doing. I'm from the government. The 9 scariest words. I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Exactly. We need to, train government. We need to make sure we're deploying our dollars. So the more local we can do that, we've got teachers. We're literally having to buy school supplies because their kids don't have them. Teachers are not a teacher. Teachers have got to be our allies and a huge part of the solution. Teachers with parents and kids, that's the only way we can fix our education. And that means we have to have school choice. And any teachers who recognize school choice, not being the end of their power, what it will like to be is a real advancement where they can start doing what it is that they're trained to do and what they want to do. Same thing with, I'll just say, you gotta have more cops on the street corner, you gotta use incarceration as a deterrent because it's not happening. We gotta get judges to recognize what a mandated sentence. And enforce the law when it comes to education. Can't be passing policies that's going to drive the cost of our fuels higher. That's what we've done. Looking at wagons, the California car mandate almost absolutely nonsensical. And we're not energy. And we should be striving. So those are some things to follow me. I'll tell you what I do. A few things. I would absolutely rewrite emergency powers. So never again would we operate under. I would pass photo ID so that we can put 46 out. That's when you go home with your photo ID and the story and the figure. I also pass school choice. So we're done with that. Got to do that right away. I would eliminate taxation on Social Security. It's already been fully taxed.
How about to?
I would lead that conversation.
Yeah,
I had heard you talk about that, and when I raised that to many people, they got really excited to hear about your idea for that. That would be massive for them.
Yeah, how about our deployed soldiers that are getting taxed overseas? You know, I mean that was insane to me that we're one of the few states that taxes our deployed soldiers. Oh, I think they do. Once you die, don't they take like an inheritance tax or something like that?
Yeah, but if they could, they tax you that. I'm surprised we have a problem with Texas Parks. This is crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
So, I think those are our website is texasparks.com. Last 5 months, 10-point plan to deal with the various challenges of the Minnesota basis. themselves, but number as close as possible. And it's the same. But if you can find healthy, you know, that's a part of the same.
Well, no, it's, you know, the saddest thing is when you see people standing outside of a senior citizen center waving at their loved ones inside of that. I mean, I'm sitting there going, now, how healthy can that be? Really, for someone's mental health, how healthy can that be? You know, that's... Absolutely. You know, this... So, thank you so much for coming on. And I wish we could do this all night long. I really do.
I have one question because I was at the chiropractor this afternoon and he was excited to see me because he wanted to know when I told him you were coming on the show, he got nervous because he said the polls are showing Jensen behind by 10 points. And I said, last that I understood, you guys were neck and neck. Where are you seeing the numbers and are you going to be our next governor? I know that.
We are.
Yes. I'm very grateful, too. It's Maple Grove Chiropractic up here in Maple Grove, and they have a wonderful clinic. And I started seeing them when I had some issues with some over-medication of an anxiety medicine, and they helped me get through it. I'm not on it anymore, but, you know, just learning how to be your own advocate. But tonight, this is, I'm really encouraged. I mentioned earlier on the show before you joined us, the front page of the Star Tribune talked about how Minnesota is actually going red and the Iron Range going red, which I know that majority of the outline is going red. But when the Star Tribune mentions it, you know that the Democrats are in trouble. I want to know, how can we watch or hear your debate with Waltz? How do we get a hold of that? Okay.
That should make a lot of people really mad. Well, that's my first question I ask them all. That, you know, what's going on in California just defies insanity, or belies insanity, I should say.
Well, that's why I think that we're going to see a massive red wave. I think we're going to see a lot of different campaigns where we are really surprised with some great victories. I start out the program by saying normally I'm the one of optimism. We're in a scary, dangerous place in Minnesota and across this country. And that's why it's very important that we win in so many critical seats. And I do believe that you're going to win, Scott Jensen, because we need to take Minnesota back. We need to heal Minnesota, and we need optimism and an opportunity and to really turn Minnesota and the country around.
Well, Dr. Scott Jensen, thank you very, very much for coming on the show and sharing us your thoughts. And we wish you nothing but success and an invite to the governor's inauguration ball, of course, VIP section with champagne.
And hopefully you'll share the link to this show. I'll send it. I'll private message it to you. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Well, listen, we weren't long, but that was well worth every penny of it. I mean, yeah, we got a Dave the engineer who can cut and splice and edit this up to make us all sound pretty. The other thing that I wanted to bring up, listen, if you listen to the podcast and you like what you hear, first of all, subscribe to it. And then on top of that, hey, drop us a note that says how good we're doing or how bad we're doing, or, you know, whatever, however you feel about that show, you know. And then on top of that, if you are interested in doing a little advertising, and contact us at thebelladeangeloshow.com. Hey, and we'll put your name out there. You know, we're capitalists. We're all about willing to make a buck, you know. And we want to see everybody succeed in this country. And
absolutely.
We're not getting paid to do this show, by the way. I want to make this very clear. We're not getting paid. We're doing this because we love our country. All right?
I've never made a dime off the show. I've been doing this since 2010.
Yeah. So we're willing to help you just... help us out and tell us what you think about how we're doing on a show and how we can improve. Other than that, I'm going to give Bella the closing notes. You're on.
Thank you, Scott Jensen, Dr. Scott Jensen. As I said in the beginning, he came on early on, and it's just been a wonderful adventure to be with him as he's made this journey. And I really do believe he will be our next governor. And I do see hope and optimism for Minnesota. It always gets the darkest before the light comes out. And I think that this country really had to get shook to its core in order to get woken up and to be able to realize that we've got to get out and we've got to vote and we've got to change things. So with that, I'm going to say good night. God bless. God bless America. And ciao for now.
Lock and load.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
Or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey, cheesy stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.